When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Awards Watch says Liam Neeson is at his best. Don't miss In the Land of Saints and Sinners. Having left his dark past behind, retired hitman Finbar Murphy, played by Neeson, leads a quiet life in a remote coastal Irish town. But when a menacing crew of terrorists arrive, Finbar is drawn into a vicious game of cat and mouse, forcing him to choose between exposing his secret identity or defending his friends and neighbors. In the Land of Saints and Sinners, from Samuel Goldwyn Films and Sony Pictures Home Entertainment. Watch it now on digital. Rated R.
What's up, everyone? I'm Tori.
And I'm Anissa.
And this is MTV's official challenge podcast.
Guys, it's finally here. Season 37 of The Challenge. That's also Tori's lucky and favorite number.
Yeah!
It works out well for her. On this season, named Spies, Lies, and Allies.
Oh my God, it's such an epic season, and we have so much to discuss. I can't believe how many alliances have already been formed, and there are so many rookies. It's insane.
It almost feels like we're on Love Island, doesn't it?
I mean, I wouldn't mind being on Love Island, so if that's the way the show's gonna go, let's do it.
Speaking of rookies, Michaela Bradshaw will be joining us later, so stick around for that.
Yes, and we're going to discuss her favorite rookies, the Survivor Alliance, and maybe once and for all, we will get to the bottom of that list.
To list or not to list?
That's the question.
All right, Tori. You do this to me all the time, and I think it's only fair because 37 is your favorite number, and it's the 37th season. Mm-hmm. You get 37 seconds to recap this episode, and you know what I get to do? Count, and that's it. In my head, silently. It's all on you. No pressure. The time's starting in three.
Well, am I recapping episode one or also the launch special? Because technically, we saw two episodes this week.
Oh, now, come on. You know, that's... Come on.
That's a lot.
You know I wouldn't do that to you.
Okay, just the episode.
The people don't want you to go blah for 37 seconds because that's all you could do.
Episode. Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Give me the timer. Let's fucking dive in.
All right. In three.
Yeah.
Two. One.
Here we go. It's the beginning of the season, and all of a sudden, we are attached to Cinder Blocks. Devin wrote a song while we were sitting there waiting for about 45 minutes called Cinder Block Jesus. It might play at the end of this episode, so stay tuned. Well, one and only Anissa coming first after she gets rescued by this beautiful Spaniard man. They run up the field, and that's right. She's taking the first place win again for this season. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Anissa. That's my girl right there. She might have copied my code, but you know what? We'll get into that later in the episode. Not going to take any shots, but you know what? Once she's got fire, bada boom, bada bing, Bobo's yacht and titan, Michaela comes into the house, and she's like, what's going on with this list and these people? Anissa searching for a list. She might have looked in a tampon for it. We're all really concerned about that. We get all the way to the end. Michaela ends up doing her own fate, and then we throw in Michelle, and Michaela goes home. Oh, I tried.
Oh, it was great. I was looking inside of a tampon. It's got to be in this applicator somewhere. I mean, Survivor people are sneaky. They're crafty. Okay.
Crafty,
you know what I'm saying? Like, if you're trying to make, yeah, not sneaky, crafty. BB's Big Brother sneaky. And Survivor's surviving. They're crafty. Like, oh my God, I need to make a bed so I could sleep. So
yeah,
you could clearly hide a list in an applicator or in a bag.
I'm pretty sure Emmanuel slept in a coconut. He was talking about that, you know? Like, so these Survivor people.
Yeah, for 5 months, just Emmanuel in a coconut. It's kind of hot. That's kind of a hot vision.
Happy
Anywho, that was a
it.
Great recap. You did what you could. I think it was really good.
Thank
the
you
Bobo,
so much.
I mean, you got into some slight scats.
The Bobo's yacht and time.
Yes.
Okay, we're going
to
move
on. Well, let's just get into it. Play of the day, best athletic move.
You.
Go.
You winning the first challenge again. Are you kidding me? It's not even a question. I wish that they would have showed me jumping on you for joy when I found out that you won.
It only shows me. I cradled you like a toddler. You jumped on top of me like you were a baby and I was going to hold you, which I did with one arm. I wish they would have shown that. We looked great.
It was so good. But you know what? Honestly, you again coming in first place on the first episode. Like, I love it. And you know what? I think every time it's like less and less of a surprise now. Like, you definitely had your huge Anissa wave of people being like, she sucks. And then all of a sudden, you don't suck. And you never did, but you know, you had doubters. And now it's just like, oh no, like Anissa comes in first. Anissa wins shit. So I love it. That is how it is.
You heard that here, probably not first, because it's my second time winning the first challenge. But I gotta give the play of the day to you.
Ooh. Let's talk about it.
It's not because you're my best friend. It's actually because Tori made like a whole like song out of the colors and numbers. And we memorized colors, numbers, and letters thinking it was going to be something else.
Yeah.
I forgot what green was. And I told Tori to her face, I said, just give me this one. I'll let you win. I don't even care. I just want to get it done. And Kels and his big old fingers.
Yeah. Well, I screamed it at you. At first, you asked me for the code, and I was like, no, I want to win. And then I had to, like, process in the middle of a challenge. I was like, oh, that's Anissa. She's my friend. I can tell her the code. So I, like, give you the five or whatever it was. And
yeah,
then you guys take off.
Troubling.
Yeah, and Kels had really big fingers. So when he clocked in our code, obviously, he messed it all up. But we'll dive into that.
And I have hands of a child, so I was perfect. Yeah. All right. The dirtiest deed.
Can I say it? Because I think I have it.
Okay.
Listen, honestly, I don't think that this player is a dirty player, but I think that the way she maneuvered in the first episode was she did what she had to do to get out of elimination. I got to give it to Emmy because she knew she was partners with a rookie. She was able to create this havoc with a list. She was the one who blew that up. And I think it was incredibly smart, but that's how you play. Like, it was a dirty play. Come on.
Well, yeah, totally. I mean, Emmy is, she is quite the character, and she says what she says.
Dude, it's amazing. Like, great for the show, especially when she says Mr. TJ. I mean, that never gets old.
Never
gonna
get old.
Thank you, Mr. TJ.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. TJ.
We have Emmy saying thank you, Mr. TJ, and we have Gabo calling him a stranger in the special.
Yeah, he said, and then some stranger.
Like Gabo. Do you know where
Gabo's
you are?
Like, man? I'm here for the booze and the chicks. I picked Nani because she's hot.
So
Nani's
good.
Like, I'm here with Casey, Gabo.
It's so good. Oh God. The
I love
relief.
The honesty of these people who are just like, fuck it.
Yeah, man, there's
so,
so many new
quite,
people.
It's so refreshing.
Absolutely. Yeah,
but
let's get into
this. It may get problematic later.
Yeah. Let's get into this first episode. So obviously, the challenge was pretty cool. We were all split into two. We had the international agents, and then we had the American agents. The American agents were tied up to these cinder blocks. We were actually chained, and we didn't really have much information. But the international agents got to run through and come scoop us up, and we got to find our partners. And Anissa, we got pretty lucky. I mean, I had Kels. He's an absolute beast. And you had Logan. Like, he was such a gem when he picked you. It was adorable.
Oh, my God. I love him. I literally was like, do you speak Spanish? And what you don't hear is that I didn't just say hola, but
yeah.
I just want to make that everyone clear on that. But I have a whole conversation with him to explain what we have to do in the challenge. But
in Spanish.
Yes, in Spanish. And for those who don't know, I speak it pretty well. So I felt like honored to have this partner because he was supporting me and pushing me. Like, he's like, I would like to run. I'm like, awesome, because Casey and Emmanuel were right in front of me.
Yeah.
And they were first, but they were walking. And he was like, I was like, we can walk now. It's fine. He goes, I would like to run. I'm like, well, then you're going to have to hold somebody's chains if you want me to run with you.
Yeah.
But he pushed me the whole time we were sprinting. He was just like, run. Like, let's go. You're good. And like, that's all you need is support.
Yeah.
One person that believes in your strengths and will push you when they know that something may not be. Sprinting, however, I don't really have an issue with. So.
Yeah.
I got really lucky. I got brain work. I got a super, super beautiful partner. It's probably the prettiest person in the house.
He is beautiful.
So beautiful. And he's nice. So hopefully that works out for us.
Yeah, and you guys crushed it. You guys win the first challenge. And the best thing about you winning the first challenge, aside from being you, was that you guys came right before Renan and Michaela. And we're going to have mm-hmm. Michaela on later in this episode, but I obviously come in third with Kels, and it was very clear, like, how much of a threat Michaela and Renan were going to be, because we were like, holy shit, there's so many teams, and a lot of them have vets, and for a team to come in second place, not have a vet on their team, these mm-hmm. people have to be skilled. These people have to be on their toes, and they know what they're doing.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
I didn't even think that they were both rookies doing this.
I was thinking it.
I mean,
Renan
played basketball for
shit.
3 days, for 3 years, you know? He's a pro.
I can't with you.
He was sweet, though. No, they were, you know, they did finish right after us, and I was just like, this is going to go, you know, one of two ways. She could be pissed that she didn't win, or, like, this woman's really a threat.
Yeah.
I think she was more of a threat to me than Renan was.
Yeah.
But you're only as strong as your partner. So together, totally. You know, right now I'm like, I don't know.
Not too worried
about
it.
Are these people going to... Worried for future.
Right.
Future challenges this season, but yeah. Immediately... I don't know. I was trying to think long game, you know? It's yeah. hard in those moments, though. So.
Yeah. And, but you know what? It was good to just kind of, like, keep your eye on that and know. And then, obviously, we all get back into the house after you guys win first place. And I can't even believe how many, like, hookups and, like, flirty scenes there are. It was, like, last season, Double Agents, there was barely any
hookups.
It was
a dry spell.
This season, it's like, after everyone isolated after COVID, I think people were just like around flesh and bodies and they were like, touch my body, you know? Like,
also, this is the first time we've had a warm season.
Yeah, that's
true. I mean, we were tanning outside in 60-degree weather. I mean, everybody's coated in oil and thongs and
yeah.
And Devin in that banana hammock. Thank you for that, Devin.
I'm so good.
Just coming in, just giving the people what they want.
Yeah.
That's why I said it was like Love Island, Temptation Island, Too Hot. It was everything.
Yeah, it was good. It was a really, really good season. And like we got to see the Nelson and Ashley hookup.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I started after Double Agents.
Me either. When we saw them hooking up in the house, people were like, what the fuck is, like, this is going to break the
internet. I didn't see any of that in the house.
And then Amanda and Fessy, I mean, like, whirlwind of people.
Yeah.
Fessy's kind of
changing his tune a little bit this season. I think that as much as he wanted to say that last season didn't affect him, Double Agents definitely affected him. I think what we thought of him affected him, what the fans thought affected him. Seeing himself act like a dick affected him.
Yeah.
And I think that he was like, you know what, there's room for improvement. You know what I mean? Like, cool, I'm a good athlete, but there's got to be more to me. So yep. I'm happy that he let us in a little bit more this time. And, you know, I think it's cool. And Amanda doesn't take any shit. So I can't wait to see what happens with this lovely couple.
Yeah, they're spicy. It's nice to have this balance because obviously we have people already hooking up and getting to know one another and having fun. And then, you know, the game kicks back in and that's when shit really starts to boil up. And then we have this deliberation and this note from Michaela. So I want to dive into that because that takes up majority of the episode because honestly, to this day, I still don't know what was on that note, Anissa.
Listen, I still feel like the note she showed me wasn't the note.
I know. But like at the same time, everyone's basically calling everybody a liar. And that's why it's going to be really important.
Any of them.
It's going to be really important to have her on in the episode to hear her side of the story because obviously we didn't get to dissect it too much while she was there. But one thing is for sure, at that deliberation, I mean, Survivor, if it ever had an alliance, it imploded immediately. Mm-hmm. It was not.
Kels
afraid
called
of numbers.
It, though.
What did he say?
Remember when we were in the bedroom and Kels was like, just watch him implode.
Like, yeah.
He called it. He was like, this is what's about to happen. Survivor's going to turn on each other, and then they're just going to fall apart. And I'm like, you know what? Yeah, cool. Nobody else had to get their hands dirty. And, you know, it is the first time us vets were like, you know, this is our show, damn it.
Thank God.
And we're gonna see how long we can protect each other. So
thank God.
Made the voting much easier, I think, for you guys. I don't really know because I wasn't, you know, involved in it. It's shitty to win sometimes because you don't know what's going to happen. But it was awesome because I was like, I don't really have to worry about anything right now. I can protect my friends and know that they're not going to be housevote.
Yeah,
and
which was awesome.
This Survivor implosion
help to send, you know, let that ship sail.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's definitely interesting that we all get to work with each other this season. And I don't know how long for, but it's definitely good for right now because we're all mm-hmm. able to protect one another. And, you know, like you said, you were in power, so you were able to protect all of the vets. And so we go to this elimination. Obviously, Renan and Michaela get voted in. And you have to choose now a guy and a girl from different, any team you want. So this twist comes up now where instead of just like...
Well, actually... This is what I did.
Okay.
I went and I sat with Michaela and Renan and I had a conversation and I asked them, who would you like to go against?
Mm.
And Michaela said Emmy, 1000%.
Yeah.
And this was after deliberation.
Yeah.
And, you know, me inquiring kind of looks like I'm concerned with what she actually has to say about it, but knowing that I may go that way anyway.
Right.
Yeah. So it kind of, it works out for me like, oh, you give me who I want.
Yeah, I've been there.
Then that kind of helps me out later. And I get it because I've been in that situation, I think, before. And so we had that conversation. So I already knew that she wanted Emmy and Corey.
Yeah. It was a good thing that you changed it, though. And I think that people don't get to see this either. Yeah, like Logan, because you end up throwing in Corey. Obviously, he gets this like shit end of the stick.
No, remember TJ was like, Anissa. And I'm like, Corey, Elle, and Emmy. I said both names thinking...
Oh, yeah, you
that
did.
That they were a pair.
You did.
And instead, I had already said Corey's name, and I was like, shit, I don't want to piss off any other guys.
Yeah.
I could do damage control with Emmy, you know? But now that they're single,
yeah,
I'm like, all right, well, who's strong enough to take out Michaela and Renan? Because I'm assuming that they're going to be a force in this elimination. Not knowing what the elimination was. But Coriel's a big dude, you know?
Yeah,
and I think that anybody thinking that he didn't have a fighting chance by himself totally underestimated him.
Absolutely.
I was just looking at it like, okay, well, you know, Michaela came in second. Michaela and Renan, if they go home, that's not...
Yeah.
Not that crazy. And Michelle was by herself. She doesn't have a partner right now.
Yeah.
You know? It made sense. Go. So I'm
and
like,
also... Michelle and Michaela kind of were working with each other, and maybe that whole fight could have been a smokescreen. Who knows? Like,
yeah,
we didn't know. So it was a smart move on your part, and ultimately a strong girl was going to go home because Michelle is also a beast, and you're going to see that later in the season. You know, she wins this elimination, obviously with the help of Corey, but honestly, both of them were down there, so you can't credit one and not the other.
Yeah.
Yes, Corey was incredible, but you can't just take away what Michelle did down there. She was still there. So, like... Shout out to both of them for winning their first elimination and then getting the power to choose their new partner, which was also a twist.
We sent two teams in. We came back with four new teams that night.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Wait, four?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tracy and Kels, you and Ed and Emmy, me and Corey and Michelle and Devin.
I mean, how do you guys feel as first round draft picks this season?
I was just too busy cracking up over Devin. I was fucking dying. The fact that Devin...
How we can convince anyone that he was the best choice.
Dude, and the best thing is like, Devin's the type of guy to walk around the house and he's like, guys, I don't know if you've heard, but I made top five hottest guys of the challenge list this year. Like, here I am. Like, he is so fucking funny. So to give him more room to make jokes, like, I loved Corey. He performed really well. I was sad to be away from Kels because I thought he was also a tank. But Corey is a tank as well. So either way, I felt like I was in a good spot. And I just couldn't believe that Devin got picked first.
I know.
So
I think
funny.
We also didn't care about who our partners were necessarily because four new teams were just created. So it was like chances of you staying with your partner the whole game are even slimmer than double agents now.
Absolutely.
Like you could pick anybody from anywhere. So if I hate you and I won.
Yeah.
Isn't that silly?
Yeah. It's crazy.
I just don't really believe in revenge. Or do I?
Well, listen, somebody who might be coming back for revenge in the future maybe could be Michaela. And we're about to have her on this episode. She's going to talk about that note. She's going to talk about her experience on the challenge, her experience on Survivor, and give us all the inside scoop on what's going on in her life. So let's talk to Michaela.
Is there a list or is there not? Stay tuned.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day. Because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Awards Watch says Liam Neeson is at his best. Don't miss in the land of saints and sinners. Having left his dark past behind, retired hitman Finbar Murphy, played by Neeson, leads a quiet life in a remote coastal Irish town. But when a menacing crew of terrorists arrive, Finbar is drawn into a vicious game of cat and mouse, forcing him to choose between exposing his secret identity or defending his friends and neighbors. In the land of saints and sinners, from Samuel Goldwyn Films and Sony Pictures Home Entertainment. Watch it now on digital. Rated R.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
All right, guys. Now we are so excited for the one and only, the star of episode one, Michaela Bradshaw, the survivor herself, to come on the podcast and hash some stuff out with us. Michaela, thank you so much for coming on.
Yay. Thanks, Tori. Thanks, Anissa. We'll have to chat.
Listen, if you were a celebrity, you'd be an A-list celebrity. How's it like that? Is it bad?
That was horrible, but I loved it.
So bad. Like A-list?
Yep.
Do you get
it? We get it, Dad.
We get
it.
I'm going to work on my fake laugh, though.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, I'm so dead.
Speaking of fake, was the list fake? Was it real? Where the hell was it? Because I sure as hell couldn't find it.
The list and the way it was described was completely fake. Did I have lists of people's names with partners on it? Yes, I write a lot. But that's generally what it was. What I found out, and I was genuinely like surprised and confused, which is why, you know, my energy went towards Michelle in the deliberation, and then Emmy started talking. I was like, what? What is this? But the aftermath cleared all of this up for me. Essentially, what happened was, yes, I was talking to Emmy. She was part of the conversation, and Michelle. Renan and Tommy were in the room, so she was clear about that. What I was saying was, since Michelle and Emmy felt targeted, they were both crying that day at various points. And I was like, look, y'all, you don't have to, like, be sad. It's a game. Somebody's going to go in. But if you feel like it's you, you don't have to just sit here. Just think of who you trust. Think of who you trust out of all the people here. So that's where the list came up. It was a list of partners' names. But I was saying verbally, think of who you trust and ask them to shift the vote. Like, you can vote together. You don't have to just sit around. That was a conversation. So when Emmy started talking in deliberation, I thought, like, did she misunderstand English? Like, was this a translation error? But on the aftermath, Amanda confirmed it herself. She went to Emmy that night and said, hey, probably going to be you. So you need to come up with something so you can throw votes on someone else. Mm. She literally said it out of her mouth. And I was like, there it is. But at this point, Emmy is so convinced that there was a list because she started drawing in the camera and shit. And I was like, you know, that. Ma'am, you didn't see that. So anywho, that's what it was. No, I've never had a hit list of anyone. But did I have lots of things written down. Yes, but none of it was.
Yes, you did. Yeah. You had lots of things I think, in a bag.
I had macaroni recipes. I had what I did literally. I had
just lists
stuff
of shit
written down. Like, what else is there to do?
You had positive affirmations.
I did have affirmations.
The confusing thing for me was, and like what really threw me off, especially in that deliberation, obviously watching it all back, it's like easy to see the conversations that Tommy and Michelle had. Now we understand that they were willing to flip sides if they had to. But when Tommy co-signed what was on that list, it was like a why would he lie? Like that was the most, so did Tommy's co-sign on that list, was that a lie?
That was a lie. Ask him, bring him on.
We should have.
My God. Jesus.
It was a lie. And so let me back this up to you also. Like when I was hearing, you know, the Survivor Alliance and stuff, the reason that was making me so uncomfortable is because I genuinely didn't know them in that way. I had met Michelle one time several years ago, but I knew Michelle and Tommy were thick as thieves. So I was like, this isn't good for me because I can't even trust y'all like that. Mm. So I felt like if there was anybody I could trust, it would be Michelle, but Michelle and Tommy's relationship made me uncomfortable. So that's why I was trying to dive that down. But I had my concerns about Tommy and I shared them. And honestly, I was so gutted to see this episode because my feelings were so hurt because I was like, dang, I've just ruined a potential for a relationship with this girl forever. Because I could tell from looking in Michelle's eyes during that deliberation, like she was hurt. And I was hurt about that, which is why I was so just even more demoralized when she was thrown into the elimination with me. Cause I was like, I don't have the heart to do anything, but I ain't trying to go home first. But when I saw like Michelle and Tommy have that conversation, like, oh, we'll throw her under the bus, you know, to keep ourselves safe. Then I was like, you know what, Michaela, your gut instincts about people are right. And I have to learn, one, don't react. That's just an adult lesson I need to, I'm getting many opportunities to learn, and sometimes I just keep failing, but not to react to things. But then also to just trust my gut about people and figure out my way around it, because I try to give people the benefit of the doubt, and it doesn't work in my favor most of the time. But but for some reason, I want to keep doing it.
Does your gut still tell you to put me at the top of your list?
And you were not okay, so let me clear this up. That was another thing, Tori. If you remember after the first challenge, who did I run up to and say I want to play with? It wasn't because y'all were just happened to be first and third. Like I'm the strong women woman. Like I genuinely wanted to play with y'all, but I was like,
I totally forgot about that conversation. Really. Yeah, we did. We had it right after we were walking. You were like, I want to be friends.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you did. I am remembering you too now.
There was a lot going on, though. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But ask how many people I said that to. You're not going to find that much. So, you know, it was just one of those things where my read on you, Anissa, was like, you're going to keep your cards close to your chest. Everybody's going to be in your face because you just won. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to sit in the background. But Tori, I did overhear some conversations. Like, you were explaining to Kels, like, how sneaky Survivor people are and all this and that about Survivor. And I was like, damn, I don't want her to feel like I'm that way because I'm genuinely not, which is why I haven't won Survivor. Because when people,
Yeah. And you know, the thing is you're so right. On my rookie season, I got very lucky that vet girls were like, she's strong, I want to work with her. But if you don't get pulled in by a vet like that, you are immediately a target because we saw you and you are a specimen. You are so strong. And it's honestly unfair that you had to leave the game so early because you are going to be, if you ever do come back in the future, such a fucking monster of a competitor. And I think that that's just what it was. Not only did that list happen and it made it easy for people to kind of throw their vote on you, it's like, dude, this girl is a beast. Mm-hmm. So we're afraid of her.
You don't have to be afraid. I'm not. I'll show you around. And so here's the thing too, which is why like I felt bad for Renan for like low-key being attached to me. I knew it's probably in my best interest to be with a guy that's like big and super scary or that has connections and people not going to vote for, which is why I was like trying my best to like, let's just win the first challenge so we can get out the way. But this is what I experienced. I experienced both times on Survivor. Like, my name always comes up, and it's for that exact reason. It's just something about me just sticks out and stands out. But if I can make it those first couple of votes, I build genuine relationships. I'm not a social player in the sense of the first day I meet you, you're going to feel like we're bestie buddies.
Right. But, so are you saying that you're going to discontinue the writing of if you come on the...
Oh, yeah. Okay. I won't be writing anything. I'll probably like use condiments and just do stuff on my plate.
Bro,
and then
they do that
eat it.
In the future of the season. I mean, I'm not going to make any spoilers, oh, but really? condiments come into play.
That's okay. What I would do. Because, you know, you just need to process sometimes and see things. But then I need to be able to lick it up and be done.
You better like that. They better have some condiments you like.
You know. Damn. Not mayonnaise.
Okay, yeah, well, I think it no is cool. Mayo next time. No mayo, and I think that you will be all right. I mean, it is helpful to write shit down. That's why they try and take everything away from us. God forbid. Yeah. I mean, I used to journal every night.
Yeah.
Back in the day and write shit down, and we would make a list of names, but it didn't mean anything. We were just trying to work out numbers.
Yeah.
Like, how many votes do we have? And or, like, how many people are here? Because I'm forgetting. Or how many weeks do we have left? So how many eliminations are there going to be? Like, exactly. I knew there were going to be doubles. So, but that's just math. We had too many fucking people. You know what I mean? So it's, it is what it is. But everyone's always had, Laurel had her book.
Yeah.
Teresa had her, I mean, you know, a lot of people that are smart that need to like visualize stuff and work stuff out. Write it down. So,
dude, my favorite thing though is when Anissa's like, all right, we got to get to the bottom of this. Let's go find the fucking list.
Yeah.
And then she, at one point in time, she's like, I'm going to go through the trash can. I'm like, I'm literally in my
No,
mind,
I went through the trash bag, but then I was like, I can't really get into this trash bag because it's been here for a while and I'm sharing a bathroom with seven other people. I'm not going to do this. And then I went over and I'm like, okay. You had all this stuff in a, like all of your paper in a plastic bag. And I'm like, okay, that's just too far. Like, there's one thing, like if the note was like out and I could see it and like grab it.
Yeah.
But I need evidence. I'm not really good at the like, oh, there is no list or, oh, there is a list. Well, one of y'all are lying and somebody's telling the fucking truth. I just don't know which one. And to be honest, I'm like, kind of out of my hands now. I mean, I thought I had it in my hands, but I think that was just a napkin. So I can't. And then Huey was just like, well, I saw her put something.
Extra.
I'm like, what did you see?
Yeah.
It could have been a tissue. It could have been a pad. It could have been anything.
Look, Huey, you came in the house 2 hours ago. What did you see me do? Like, and y'all, my mind is so literal too. So when people say things that's a lie, like I genuinely try to figure out how is this possible. But I just have to realize, like, yo, people lie, and it's okay. You just keep walking.
I mean, it is part of the game, and you it's came from Survivor. Like you do have. I ended up watching your season of Survivor when I was. Chilling in quarantine because I was like, all right, like they all had the opportunity to watch us if they watched past seasons of the challenge. Let me do the same because like I want to know who I'm dealing with too. And so I got to see you on both of your seasons and it is really interesting how you changed up your gameplay, which I think is really important. It's especially when you have continuing, like you're going to come back on the show. You have to switch up your game every single time. And do you think that those two seasons of Survivor helped you for this challenge at all? Or do you feel like if you were to come back, you would change up what you would do in the future? Or like, what's your gameplay going forward?
I think relationships are super important. So even though I was there for a very, very short amount of time, the people that I made genuine connections with, I'm still connected with. And also as people start to piece things together over the course of the season, they realize, oh, snap. This person lied on me. Could they have been lying other times? I wonder. So that stuff would come back to me. So that's good. Like, my whole thing is as people realize, like, yo, Michaela has a track record of loyalty. That's one thing that hasn't changed. One thing I've never done and will never do again is call somebody out publicly. Because even though in the back end of it, okay, it's slightly justified, but I just don't like how that feels. Mm-hmm. But generally, what I'll do is you know, relationships are important. Staying on the radar is important. Being proactive and picking this partner. Like, I literally had the pick of the litter. I could see everybody is there running down, except Emmanuel, who knew exactly who he wanted. He was screaming Casey from the bushes. But
yeah,
everybody else was kind of lost. And I never was like, you, come here, until all the dudes were almost gone. And then it was like, okay, Belgium. So
who would you have picked?
Yeah.
Instead
Kels or Kyle? So Kyle was the person I wanted because I knew he was a vet male, and I figured that would be safest for me. And he's strong. Like, he's made it to, when he made it to the final, he was second in some previous season. And then he got right next to the final at the one of the last seasons that he was in. So I was like, yeah, that would be great. But when I saw Kels come out, I was like, he's big. That's great. So those would have been top two choices. Oh, and Nam, but I feel like Nam and Michelle, their hearts align better, and I would I would hate to ever say or do anything that hurt Nam's feelings. So I was a little scared of him being
the nicest person in the world.
Yeah.
Well, even though you were only on the show for a short period of time, how do you think it compared to Survivor? Because obviously Survivor is very different, but there are a lot of similarities. Yeah.
It's so different in the sense of, one, all the previous relationships. If you play twice on Survivor, that's a huge deal. That's very, very rare. And then you have like maybe 10 total people over 40 seasons that may have played more than twice. So it doesn't happen. You start from scratch each time. The challenge, there is no starting from scratch. Half the people know each other. You know, you have things that are carrying over. So that those relationships coming in are one thing. Another thing, the challenges here are super cool and super tough. Like, that first challenge, I was sore walking around the house after that one, but I love that sore feeling. So yeah, those are fun. I wish I could do more of those. Third, the challenge happens all day and all night. Like, Survivor, there's no lights. When the sun goes down, people sit down and shut up. You just coast. The challenge is like, so the people that sleep in the daytime, they wake up at 4 p.m. and then they're just creating havoc all night. And the only little time of rest is like 6 a.m. in the morning when the sun comes up and the chickens are clucking, you know? So yeah, just trying to find a rhythm of like, how do I have some alone time in here without looking antisocial? That was a challenge for me, as well as figuring out, like, how do I go from living by myself, isolated in a pandemic, to overnight living with, like, 1,000 people who don't wash their dishes?
Girl, that's a fucking nightmare, isn't it? They throw the dishes, too. I was like, why would you show that? I hope those kids that were in the house look at it and say, damn, we were nasty, and thank you.
They don't take responsibility for shit.
You know,
you're filthy.
But no, on Survivor, you actually have work to do. Like, there is no free meal. You know, you need to go gather firewood. Like, there's stuff to keep you occupied. But the challenge is, like, everything's catered to you. So there's nothing to do but just create chaos and sleep with
people. Yeah, right. Absolutely. Were you a fan of the show before you came on it, or did you not watch it?
So I watched Real World and Road Rules. It's a little break. Seen little bits and pieces of the challenge, like back when the challenge that sticks out in my mind was like somebody had to roll in some mustard and make themselves into a hot dog or something. It was you?
Wait, we had to make ourselves into burritos and we ended up on buns at the
burritos.
End or whatever it was. It was called sausage. It was like, called sausage party, and we were saran wrapped up to our necks.
Yeah.
What?
And I was
shit
like,
was crazy.
That's interesting. Then really what got me looking is when Jay was on there, because, you know, me and Jay played Survivor together, another person that flipped things on me. I was watching for Jay. I love watching people that I've met in person do things. Mm-hmm. And I was really disappointed and upset, like when Rogan had him in that elimination and gave him a concussion, and I was like, that's it. I want to go play now. that was really my impetus there. Because I was like, that is not kind to do to a person. So.
Yeah. I mean, it happens, you know, in the name of the game, shit goes down in that. But I think that that's something that you definitely, we knew you were going to bring that similar, like, competitive nature to the show. I mean, you and Brennan finished second. And the moment you guys crossed that line second, I mean, I was so happy Anissa won. Obviously, number one, because Anissa won. That's my bitch. But number two, because she, thank God, beat you and Brennan. I mean, you guys had the vets shaking. We were like, what is going to happen if from the very start of this game, the rookies have control? We're fucked.
Yeah.
So the fact that you guys came in second and you guys placed so well, we knew that you were going to be an absolute competitive threat. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it, like you said before, when you are such a strong player, it's going to put a target on your back. That, and then having the survivor numbers and having that alliance. Do you feel like having all of those people there from Survivor was a disadvantage for you now? Or do you 100%. Wish you could go?
100%. It was cool. I didn't even realize Survivor was in so many different countries like that. Mm-hmm. But I was like, yeah, this is not. I don't need any additional targets, and this is creating one.
Dude, the international Survivor, the versions,
the 5
internationally,
months is crazy.
They have to stay outside for 5 months.
Five like, months?
How many?
Nope.
Yeah.
Five
no,
months.
Thank you.
Nope.
What?
That no, 39 mm-hmm. days was like, I'll try that out. But 5 months?
What?
See you later. See you never.
And for
I would be
what?
In the ocean. Where did Anissa go? She dead.
I'd come out of the island like Jumanji. What year is it? You know? Like,
no, I would have dreadlocks and a full bush everywhere.
Full bush for sure. Have to
I'd
go
be
get,
a, I would be a bush.
Have to go get laser hair removal before you go, because otherwise you're going to be a sea sponge. So do you think... were you excited for any of the other rookies that were on this season, Michaela? Did you know any of them besides Michaela and Tommy? I mean,
no,
Michelle and Tommy, sorry.
I was able to connect with Michelle and Tommy beforehand. I thought Jay was going to be on, so I was like, ooh, and then that didn't happen. No, everybody was basically new to me. So I was seeing most of the rookies when they crossed the finish line, and it was so exciting because I was like, man, it's me and Michelle for the girls, it's Tommy and Coriel for the boys. And when everybody else came across, I'm like, wow, the numbers might be in my favor. And then I was realizing they're from all over. And that was just so refreshing for me. Because again, like being in the house, staring in front of a computer for a year plus, like that drained me to a degree that I can't even express. So just being somewhere different, doing something fun, being around different people, that was super exciting for me. But I wish I would have, you know, met some of them ahead of time. That would have been nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that you did what you could with what you were given. And sometimes in a moment, you need to switch your shit up. And it just, that's how the game is, you know? And so you learn over time, less is more. Even though you want to, like, protect yourself and speak up for yourself, sometimes just shutting up and, like, just let it go. Because, to be honest, people will mess up at some point, you know? And I think it was just really easy for people to, one, like, okay, you had a list. Cool, this will be easy. And two, she's a threat. So we're not going to give her the credit that she's a threat yet, but we're totally going to make this list a thing. Like, even if it wasn't real, even if you were like, it's not, and everyone was like, no, it's not. I mean, the after that seed's planted, that seed of doubt,
it's
so hard to move away from that. It just kind of sits in your head, you know, and that sucks, but it just...
Yeah, I mean, and it put you in a bad spot, but I think that you handled it so well. You know, there's conversations that we had before you even go into elimination, and you're like, yeah, I'm going in. It's cool. You know, if I come back, you know, it's I hope that we can work together. And I just like thought the way you handled it was really amazing, like so strong. But obviously the elimination wasn't entirely in your hands. Like you and Renan had to work together. Were you nervous to go into elimination with him and knowing that your fate was in his hands?
Yeah, I really didn't think of it initially as my fate being in his hands. For whatever reason, I was like, you know, I hope this is an individual elimination because, you know, I got a good shot of coming back. But to hear Anissa be like, yeah, I knew it was going to be part pairs, and I'm like, oh, that would have maybe changed up my
tune. Yeah, we could have had that conversation, but...
but no.
I was too busy fucking scavenger hunt upstairs. Easter egg hunt.
No, but once PJ explained the challenge, I was like, this is going to be different. So I kept thinking, okay, what strategy could I use? Because we can't out-tug Coriel. Like, it's going to take me and Renan to outdo Coriel. And the best I could think was, man, Renan, flip yourself. I'm going to flip myself. You got to flip yourself. And we gotta have all fours on the ground. We can't do this pushback crap. And, you know, my buddy couldn't flip. So
it's all right.
So I know that, what they don't show is that I initially called down Emmy and Corio. But I didn't know that I was going to have to pick individual people. So we were totally thrown off. But at that time, like, Michelle had no partner. We didn't know what was going to happen to her in the game. And I wasn't going to fight with Logan because, one, I'd have to then – I feel like I would have had to translate that to Spanish and, like, just really try and cuss him out of there and convince him that we were making the right decision. But he said Michelle's name first. That was easy for me.
Right.
Even though I really enjoyed her. But to see your reaction, it just sucks because it's like I've gone against my friend.
Yeah.
It's a terrible, terrible feeling. But it also is part of the game. So how did – how did you feel like, okay, not even how did you feel, clearly I could see it, but who would you have wanted to go against instead of Michelle?
So, Ashley or Amanda, to be quite honest. So my whole thing, let's go back to this list. If there were a list, there's no way in the world one of you two would be at the top of it. Doesn't make any sense for me personally. But for me, it was like, all right, Ashley, you drink all the alcohol, so better for everyone if you go. Two, am I allowed to say that?
You can say whatever you want.
If there was actually two people, it would have been for me, Ashley and Huey, and then Amanda as an option if I knew Coriel was going in, because then you need the smallest person to offset Coriel. But if Coriel wasn't in there, Ashley and Huey. He was loud. I felt like I couldn't trust him. I figured that out in deliberation. Ashley, you know, she's chaotic too. And she's really smart though at puzzles. Like, she finds a way to get things done. So
she's I figure you can move
her out as quickly as possible. And at least taking away one veteran number would kind of open up the game a little bit and help people be willing to play with you. But I just didn't feel like it was smart to have two vets go in, because then it would make y'all feel like we're not trying to play with you, which that wasn't the case. So if it was Coriel plus another Amanda, just because she's small and a vet, if it wasn't Coriel and it was a pair, Ashley and Huey, just to make the house a little bit quieter, a little bit more comfortable, and, you know, give me a space to advance in the game. That's what I picked.
I have a lot of respect for the way you process the game. And I just think that you came on to a season where, for the first time in seasons, the vets were like, all right, guys.
Decided to, like, be smart about it.
We're going to do it together. We hope. Like, this is so brand new for all of us. I mean, there's a lot of bad blood between a lot of us vets. And obviously, as the season continues, that will also continue to show itself. So it was a bad time and bad situation for a player like you to have that list thing happen so early on and then also be paired with a rookie. It was like the worst storm possible.
Yeah.
So
but
I hope you get a chance to play again.
Yeah. Maybe I was meant to, like, go spy out the land first before doing anything, you know? Because I did learn a lot. And again, I got what I needed, which was a break from real life and just meeting new people and experiencing different things and just thinking in a different way, and also learning some being reminded of some lessons that I need to learn and some things I need to work on personally. So I think everything happens for a reason, man. And that's why I couldn't even be mad. You know, when you do a show like that, there's always a chance. There's always a chance you're going to go in. There's always a chance you're going to lose. And I feel like if anybody has the balls to take losing first and not, like, crumbling into a crying mess, it might be me.
I have a lot of respect for you.
Yeah, that is the perfect way to look at it. Like, I always tell Tori, like, you just have to have that. Well, I tell all the listeners, you have to have balance, I think, in anything in life. But, like, knowing that it is a game, I know there's a lot of money on the line, but there are literally one or two people that are going to have that money.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And your chances are very small.
Yeah.
Very small.
So you have to do what you have to do to get there. And if you don't get there, well, then
you go try home again. And home should be that bad, and you come back and you revise your game a little bit and or play the same one over and over for like decades. But you do learn stuff, and if you're able to reflect and use this as a positive experience, then it really, you win in so many other ways. So
yeah,
I do like how positive you are and brutally honest, which
yeah, refreshing,
you know, yeah, it's nice. Yeah, it's nice. You say what some people think, which is nice.
Yeah, you know, that's why I was so shocked, like at the end of this episode when Emmy was like, we got rid of a fake person. I was like, you're so confused, bless your heart.
Aww.
That's not me.
You know what, like everybody's gonna take shots and say whatever they're gonna say in interviews. That's just how the game goes.
Yeah, that's so, how interviews are,
whatever. Like, I take all that shit with a grain of salt, and obviously you know who you are, and you know you're not fake. Probably one of the realest ever.
Yeah.
It, definitely the realest in the first episode. Your ass was like
yeah, I got MPV. Jesus Christ. Yeah. MVP real.
So now so now that you have been sent home, who are you rooting for in this season? And would you do another season of The Challenge?
Yeah, I'm rooting for Corey L. Especially watching that, I feel so bad. Like, he literally didn't have anything to do with anything, and now has to move through the season with a target on his back. So definitely rooting for him. And I'm rooting for a lot of my international folks, too, to be quite honest. Like, I just recognize from talking to them how big it is to be on a U.S. produce show, and so I'm all for like, yay, diversity, you know. Yeah. Show your country, tell us your culture. So anybody really, but I also root for the best every single time. So whoever plays the best game, makes it to the end, kudos, and whoever wins, because you won and you deserve it. So but yeah, will you see me again? Definitely, I will go again. That little bit of time that I had again was so refreshing. Even the like breakdown parts for me was great, because I just remember like, oh, this is who I am. It's okay to have these feelings. It's nice to talk to people and be able to share something in common. That's the one thing I miss, like going back into the working world. There's nobody I work with who's had these types of experiences. So you can't really talk to people and connect with them the same way, because they don't get it. So after kind of putting myself in a box to fit a particular environment for so long, it was just so nice and so needed to be around people who were just being either themselves or who they wanted to be that day, because there's so many people in the world who don't have the freedom to do that. So that by itself was just to me. Now I just got to know, like, okay, some people feel, like Kyle said, might just be the devil. So I got to be prepared. I got to be prepared.
Yes, absolutely. But you know what? You've done it before. You've come back, second season of Survivor, played a better game the second time around. If you get another opportunity, and honestly, I think you will, because I think that you didn't get enough time to show who you are, but in that short amount of time, you were able to make some great TV. So in my eyes, you're going to be coming back, so I hope you are. And we have one final question for you.
Yeah.
So the name of this season is Spies, Lies, and Allies. So
and
we need you
fries.
To choose... We
Sorry,
need you to choose. I hate you. We need you to choose the biggest spy, the biggest liar, and the biggest ally from this episode. So, who is the biggest spy? Someone to look out for that could be like sneaky potentially in the future.
The biggest spy. Ooh, my mind just went to Kels and Anissa, but for two different reasons.
Ooh, spicy.
I like spice. Bring the heat, Michaela.
Let's go.
I'm not afraid.
Anissa,
I'm not afraid of you.
You have so much inside scoop and so much experience and information that it's like your big brother watching, and you know, you have all this information. It's just, what are you going to do with it? And you know how to like hold your cards. So that's the definition of a spy.
Thank you, baby. I love that.
Kels is very a calculating person. And you can just tell every move he makes is because he's trying to do something. And so that's the type of person that you have to keep your spy eye on. Liar. Emmy, she wins. And Tommy. I throw Tommy in there, too. His teaching self out there lying. And then allies. You know, I feel like my partner was a good ally. He didn't do anything to me. Yeah. I barely talked to him, but Brennan was sweet. So.
Yeah. Shout out to Renan.
I love Renan.
Little sex counselor.
Little sex counselor Renan.
I love Renan.
Michaela, thank you so much for coming on the show. We loved hearing your side of the story. We think that your season got cut short. Definitely want to see you in the future. Definitely want to have a very subtle conversation with you guys after the first challenge again, and maybe we can go somewhere from there this time. No more lists.
No more lists.
Thank you so much for coming on. But we can have a verbal list of what we're going to do. Perhaps together.
You know, we can collaborate. We can collaborate without taking any notes.
They don't want too many strong girls working together. Why?
That's all we got to do. We take over.
Yeah.
That's why.
I'll have my people call your people. Anissa, call her people.
Yeah, I got it. I'll just call her.
Awesome. Well, this was fun. Thank you so much. It was nice to talk to y'all and enjoy. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Akayla. Yes. You too.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.
Bye. Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Awards Watch says Liam Neeson is at his best. Don't miss in the land of saints and sinners. Having left his dark past behind, retired hitman Finbar Murphy, played by Neeson, leads a quiet life in a remote coastal Irish town. But when a menacing crew of terrorists arrive, Finbar is drawn into a vicious game of cat and mouse, forcing him to choose between exposing his secret identity or defending his friends and neighbors. In the land of saints and sinners, from Samuel Goldwyn Films and Sony Pictures Home Entertainment. Watch it now on digital. Rated R.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Thank God Michaela came on here. I mean, real, raw, honest. Still not sure about the list, but I guess it doesn't exist. But really happy she got to come on here, and I'm sure she's not going to be a stranger to the challenge.
Absolutely. She was awesome, and I respect her honesty 100%. So it was really nice getting her information from her as an agent. It was great intel. Now, going forward, let's talk about Challenge Confidential. Anissa, give us some behind-the-scenes tea of what happened after the American agents got abducted.
Yeah. So did we get abducted? Is that really what happened? What happened was TJ gave us a message. We are about 20 bottles of wine deep. I mean,
well, we for a lot drinking. Of people.
Well, yeah, 17 people. I mean, you think four glasses a bottle. We had champagne. Like, it was cute. We see our house. We're all excited. So there's adrenaline. People haven't seen each other in a while. People are getting to know each other. And then TJ gives us that message. And I'm like, nobody here. Mm-mm. We can't do this in this state. We're inebriated. Yeah. There's no way.
We were scared.
I mean, I was like, legally, there's no way they could do this, guys. Like, chill out. And then Ashley and Amanda Amanda and Nani are like open mouth, like so confused. I'm like, guys, we're really not going to do a challenge. And you know what happened? They took us back to the hotel we had been quarantining in for 8 days. Yeah. And they promised us beer and pizza. And you know what we got? Pizza. No beer. Because you know what we did have to do? Yeah. We had a challenge the next day.
Yeah.
We definitely did. So we might not be drunk while we're doing the challenge, but we were definitely a little bit hungover.
I'm not going to say names, but there was somebody who was so hungover they were throwing up right before we got chained to the center box.
Wait, who? Mouth it to me. Oh, yeah. She was fucked. Totally forgot about the bus ride.
Okay. Well,
oh,
yeah. So
God. There, yeah. We're not, no judgments here, but we had a night, you know?
Yeah. We had a night. And so we get chained up and obviously we're waiting there and we speculate what's going on because we have absolutely no instruction whatsoever. So we spent an entire night in a hotel and it was honestly the most annoying thing ever because we had already been quarantining for so many days. We were so excited to finally see everybody and to talk and to be around people. And then the moment we get put into the house, they're like, nope, just kidding. You're going back into the hotel. And it felt like we were like a dog getting put back in our cages. Like it was my least favorite night ever because I was already in the game. I was so excited.
Yeah. And we already picked out our beds. I'm like, if somebody comes in here and moves my shit, we're going to have an issue. I feel like being an elder and a veteran, I would like to keep my bottom bunk. It's safe. Yeah. It's cozy. It's in the corner. Leave my shit alone. There's another challenge confidential that was a part of that, but now I forget it. So
Cinderblock Jesus.
Oh.
So like in the recap, the 37-second recap I did earlier, I mentioned Cinderblock Jesus. That was the song that Devin was singing. We don't remember the song, but we were literally starting to lose our mind because we're just standing there chained to Cinderblocks. And that's when he went off and went on a tangent. And I wish I could do the song for you, but I think it was something like this. Like, Cinderblock Jesus, da-da-da. A Cinderblock Jesus, da-da-da. And like we spent most of our time doing that. And what we should have been doing was memorizing the code things.
Yeah. Yeah, then I wouldn't have needed your help.
I was like, it's time to clock in. And finally, I think I was the first person that was like, Anissa, Devin. Because obviously the two of us were like, you guys were both my number ones, number one guy and girl. I was like, guys, we have to memorize this. And you were like, no, we don't. I was like, Anissa, why is it here? They're all the same.
Well, no, I got what you were saying. I didn't know they were all the same. That's why I was looking at it like, what the fuck? And then I started doing it. And then I was like, oh, okay, fine.
Yeah.
And you had already made up a song and shit on your fingers about it.
I still remember Cinderblock
Jesus.
I still remember it. I can go 0 through 9 colors and letters. I still got it. I'm not going to do it. It's going to bore you to death, but I can still do it. It starts with pink, 0, and T. I'll leave you at that. All right, let's move forward. So I just want to say I am so excited that we are back for another season of the Challenge Podcast because we have had the time of our lives doing this together. It's only brought in me and Anissa closer, and every single time we record it naked. So we get to look at each other through a screen and just honestly talk to each other naked, and we feel free. We really do.
Yeah, we really just compliment each other's bodies, and really it's just really positive over here, guys. It's just her and I just looking into each other.
Yeah, that's what looking into eyes. Each other's
eyes. No, we're fully dressed, guys. I mean, use your imagination if we weren't. Yeah, I'm really excited. We are back. This season is for sure going to be one for the books. I'm really excited. Definitely different than Double Agents. You can see already that like the global agents coming in really is really going to shift the energy.
Oh, yeah.
And for the better. I mean, I'm so happy that all of these people get to represent where they're from, bring a little bit of their culture to us. So
I agree.
I love you, global agents, wherever you are in the world.
Yeah, it's an epic season, and we look forward to getting all of your questions, guys. So make sure you DM us, you ask us questions. We're going to have a bunch of guests on the show. If you want to see anybody on the show, send requests in. Anissa, where can they send you pictures of their cats? What's your Instagram?
You can find me on Instagram at Anissa MTV. That's A-N-E-E-S-A. MTV and Tori, where can they find you?
You guys can find me at Tori_Deal. And I look forward to getting all your DMs. We'll read them if we can. But make sure that you watch the new episodes of The Challenge, Spies, Lies, and Allies, every Wednesday.
And then go behind the scenes with us the next morning on MTV's official Challenge podcast.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.